Miss any of the show? You can get Sheeman and Shepherd all the time with Sheeman and Shepherd On Demand. Available on 99.3ESPN.com and iTunes. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
He's leaving. Leaving. On that midnight train to Georgia.
Leaving on the midnight train.
Yeah. Said he's going back.
This is just an awesome song. Gladys Knight doing the national anthem for the Super Bowl. I mean, there's just as far as songs go, you can't say anything bad about this one.
That's a breakthrough.
It's fantastic. Very smooth. Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. Rick Kambla from NBA TV will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. Chris, could you indulge me for just a moment? Rarely am I blown away by stuff or just... Could you replay the soundbite of Mel Kiper Jr.? Because he said the Kyler Murray, is the most intriguing pick of all time in the NFL draft? Because I had about a dozen go Absolutely. Through my mind since our last break.
And we didn't even mention Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I have 1,000 more to add to the list. Can we hear the bite? Here we go.
Probably the most fascinating, intriguing player in the history of the draft. When you think about what it means to the first round and a quarterback this size, we've never had it before. We thought, 7 years ago, 5'10 and a half, 5'10 and three quarters, Russell Wilson, where would he go? He's a third round pick. And now we fast forward to today and we're talking about a 5'9, 5'10 quarterback going in the top 10, top 15, maybe in the top five. So this is something we've never had before. And you mentioned the different league we're in now, the different NFL than it was in the 80s and 90s. And you're a point guard. You're back there so far now, you're in space where nobody's bothering you. You're throwing a ball and you're getting the ball out and throwing to fourth, fifth options. And his running ability, I said back in October, if he was 3 inches taller, we wouldn't even be having a discussion. You lock him in as the number one pick.
I agree,
there is some fascination here, but of all time?
I'm trying to, Flynn got drafted by the Bears, and there was as much hype around him. And that's all you heard about. It's 5'9", it's 5'9", it's 5'9".
I've never seen a fervor going into the draft like I did last year on the Baker Mayfield thing. I think that's more fascinating.
With that class?
We all mentioned Bo Jackson. I think it was fascinating that the Giants took Saquon Barkley at number 2.
Mm-hmm.
You threw in Tim Tebow. I think Lamar Jackson was every bit as fascinating.
Yes, how far he dropped.
Absolutely. Barry Sanders was the first junior ever drafted. They did not allow juniors to be drafted.
Peyton Manning
versus Ryan Leaf was more fascinating than
that.
This.
It's been Ryan Leaf almost went, was this close.
And what about the uber talented guys that may have some question marks off the field? Dan Marino, Warren Sapp, Randy Moss. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. I've just named three all timers right
Marino
there.
Dan Marino was way more, as he dropped, it was way more fascinating.
Yeah, it absolutely was. It was unfair that he dropped as much. It was ridiculous that he dropped that far, but absolutely, come on, Mel, man, you're better than that. but nobody challenges him. Nobody says, whoa, stop.
I heard a wow
in
the background.
Golic goes, wow.
Don't say wow. Get in his face about it. That's what's compelling, radio, television. Don't let him go on and make some outrageous comment and don't challenge him. That's the biggest problem I have with my friends in Bristol. Nobody challenges anybody, with very few exceptions. Stuff like that. I would have said, no, stop the show. And I would have given as many examples as we just gave, if they could come up with it, as fast as we could, and say, no, come on, Mel. You're better than this. Let's pump the brakes, man. Pump them.
That was a little bit of hyperbole.
Oh, you think?
No doubt about it. All right, we'll continue with that.
But what I do like about Mel, and we'll do it next hour, but it's where Kyler Murray, where he has him. Slotted to go.
Yes, we will. We will look at. We will break down Mel's mock draft. There's no question about that. And that is, you'll want to listen to where he's got Kyler Murray going.
Hey, Michael Vick.
Oh, yeah. Another one.
All intriguing. All very intriguing.
Yep.
Let's go to the phones at 239-337 ESPN. Bud in the Cape. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hello.
Hey, Bud.
Hi. Hi, guys.
How are you?
Yeah, I always listen to you guys. Great show.
Thank you.
As always. But I think you're missing the point on on Kyler Murray, I think he's only talking about he's intriguing because of his size. I mean, there's nobody, even Flutie. I don't think the Bears drafted Flutie. I think maybe New England did, and he ended up on the Bears via the CFL.
But I'm pretty sure they didn't. The first pro team he played for was the Bears, and
we did the CFL for a while.
He did
CFL first, and then he came to the Bears. But I think that's so. I just didn't want to dispute you guys, but I think that is the point that because of his size, he's setting like new ground in NFL, and it's changed now.
How tall do you think Drew Brees is?
Oh, Drew Brees is how? 6 foot, I believe he is.
5'11".
Well, no, I know. They always exaggerate an inch, and so Kyler Murray's probably, that even makes his point more valid, because at 5'8", I mean, that's almost impossible, I think, personally, to play in the NFL, seeing the guys.
I think the intriguing part of the story is he going to go play for the Oakland A's or come in the NFL draft? I mean, I still think there's a possibility he still might play baseball.
Well, I don't disagree with you. There is intrigue here. My only beef was all time, though, Bud.
I mean, that's
the part I had a problem with.
All time?
Only because of the size, because I think if he is accepted in the NFL at that in the first round, I think that's a ground kind of changing thing for the NFL.
No, well, he will be drafted in the first round. There's no question about that. Thanks, Bud. I appreciate the phone call.
And by the way, Doug Flutie taken 285th overall in the 1985 draft
by the Rams.
Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's right. Then he played for the New Jersey Generals. That's where he made his bones with Donald Trump team.
Yeah.
There. And then in 86, he signed with the Bears. Hmm. And then later played with the Patriots in 88.
I remember him as a Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the team that I say Flutie.
I remember Bills and Bears.
But I remember his when he
But
came,
he did a drop kick for the Patriots.
Well, yeah, but that was
his last game.
And they didn't win that game. I mean, that thing was garbage time. It had never been done in like 40 years, so it was great.
The
highlight I remember initially was the Bears. Monday Night Football, I think it was against your Lions. Mm. Playing your Lions. And he was starting for McMahon, who was hurt. This is when McMahon was calling him Bambi and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he audibled. They won the game, but they were down early, and he audibled twice in a row on Ditka. And Ditka pulled him out to the sideline, grabbed his helmet. I thought he was going to snap him in half. And then the next series, I believe Doug went out and threw a touchdown pass, and Ditka just went up and hugged him like he was his son that he hadn't seen in 30 years. Doug disappeared into the bowels of his bosom, and then I remember Frank Gifford going, you see, and that's the other side of Mike Ditka. But Ditka always liked him.
Did you just go bowels of the bosom?
Yeah, bowels of, nestled in the bowels of his bosom.
That's mixing a lot of body parts together.
Yeah, and it's common with me. But it was, Ditka always said, I like that little guy. There was a lot of the other Bears that didn't like him.
Well, I always liked Flutie. Thought he was cool.
Yeah.
All right, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776 is the number. As I mentioned, let's update our Twitter poll, because it's unusual today because of a new trend.
Yeah, January, this new January thing with some women who just want to grow their armpit hair out, which we all agree. There's just certain things. And
it's laziness.
It's just disgusting. Yeah. Almost 180 votes so far. Do you favor armpit hair on women? 89% no.
Why isn't this 100%? Are there 10% of you people listening right now going, yeah, that's a good look?
I'm a free spirit, and you young SOBs men won't tell me what to do.
You guys aren't that young.
Hey, it's just like with some guys have real hairy backs, look disgusting, which I can raise my hand to. I've shaved my back, and I get it.
You got a sweater back?
Oh, yeah. Not like crazy stuff, but enough where, enough was enough. I think that's common in a lot, and that's fine.
You ever get it waxed?
No.
Can we do a promotion?
No.
Please.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, like in the movie 40-Year-Old Virgin, just rip it off. Let's go.
No.
Come on, Pete Shepard.
No, put the show first. Nope.
I did my colonoscopy on the air last week. Come on, let's go.
I was conscious.
Talked about my insides for 3 days.
I think it'd be great.
You won't get your back waxed on the air.
I got this awesome razor thing. And just does it in 2 seconds. I'm done in 2 minutes.
Doesn't it grow back stubblier and thicker and stronger?
Every three or four months, I do it.
Oh, that's not a fast grow.
No, it does. It's good. It works. It's fantastic.
Wow.
Interesting.
I still vote for the waxing of the back. I think that would be
the air.
Fun.
No,
well, you know,
Craig's back. You
let's
no,
put it this way. I'm not making another sandwich bet with you.
Do Craig's back.
What are you talking about? I'm like a hairless cat. I'm smooth.
I don't know. I've never seen you in a pool or the beach or anything like that.
I'm very smooth. I'm like Chris. Chris
natural, all natural?
Yeah.
Yeah, mine's due to the Native American background that I have.
Seriously?
Seriously, yeah. And my grandma's like 50%.
Oh,
yeah.
I started shaving. I had to start shaving when I was 12.
I'm Eastern European. I don't think there are a lot of hairy people. I don't know.
I thought you were Polish.
I am.
You're a Polak.
I'm half Polish. Oops. I'm one quarter Irish, one quarter Hungarian. That's where I am. That's how I roll. So
that's Central Europe, right? I'm not Western Europe. Western Europe's like the
I
France.
I said Eastern Europe.
Oh, okay. I'm fair with that.
I'm from the Eastern Bloc, man. Tough times.
You know, I actually got one of those sent out for me. I got it for Christmas, the MyAncestry.com.
I'm thinking about doing that.
Yeah, so right now they're processing my DNA. So
did you like spit in a thing and send it off in the mail?
It's a lot of spit.
Really?
It's a lot of spit.
What do you got to do, half a gallon or what?
No, I mean, it's a little, I don't have anything that's like the size of it
in here. Compare it to like this like bottle
a pill
of
box,
water.
A pill? Like
yes.
A pill.
Yes, like a pill bottle.
Yeah.
You have to spit in like 2/3 of that, a container that size. I mean, I'm sitting before I'm coming into work one day just...
You know what? It's going to come back and go, this person is drinking a lot of beer. So how long ago did you do it?
I sent it off...
Was it like 52 and... What is it? There's like a couple
No,
out there.
I did my Ancestry.
Ancestry.com?
Yeah, what was it? Hold on 1 second. They text you when they update, so...
Oh. I'm fascinated by it. I've been thinking about doing that for years, and I never have, so I'm going to be real curious to see. And by
Ancestry
the way,
DNA is what I used, and they received the kit on January 2nd.
All right. Did your wife do one, too?
No.
Okay. I'm going to be real curious. In fact, we should get them on as a sponsor now that we're talking about them, because I am very curious about doing that. I want to hear how that comes out. You might find out something about yourself.
Oh, I think a lot of people, you'd find out.
Yeah.
A bleep load about yourself.
And if there's other people in a database, you could find long-lost relatives and all that kind of stuff. Who knows? Might be fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Might be shocking to some of you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. So another story I want to get into just a little bit here. I want to get your guys' opinion on this. Scottie Pippen yesterday, I think it was yesterday, he said that Zion Williamson should shut it down right now, rest of the year. He's played, 16 games? They're 14-2 at Duke. He said there is no reason for him to just sit there and be part of the championship drive of Duke. Shut it down. Don't risk an injury. You've already got mega shoe deals and everything waiting for you. Don't get hurt. Number one pick in the draft. Slam dunk. There is no incentive whatsoever to continue playing college basketball. We all know you're going to be number one. What do you think about that? Because we talk about it a lot in football.
I think this is going to become a trend for any big-time athlete in any sport, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, hockey, say the four majors of these kids, are all going to start to get the same advice, which is...
Don't play.
Don't play.
Now, the NBA, this is already a done deal, right? This is only going to be in the NBA, this one and done, for a couple more years.
Yeah.
Haven't we already decided we are switching? And so this will be a non-factor for players like Zion Williamson a couple of years from now. Football, it's always going to be the case, but...
I think college sports is going to be in some serious trouble here. Don't you think next 5 to... Even I'm going to even see 10 years. I'm going to say the next 5 years.
Does it go back to that we root for the laundry argument? Like, I'm always going to root for Indiana, regardless of who's playing.
Oh, yeah, but I think the quality of play is going to go down. I think the real – and it's only – we're talking about, 1%?
Yeah.
We're talking about the 1%, but we all know that one guy can be the difference. One guy in college can get you to the Final Four.
Yeah.
You can go far with that guy. Saw Larry Bird with Indiana State. Steph Curry with Davidson getting far.
Carmelo Anthony's probably the best Carmelo example Anthony, as a freshman at Syracuse.
Yeah, won the championship.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, he had a little bit of help, but I think that is the trend of college sports.
Yeah.
And maybe it ends up being better for the game, because maybe we start seeing more four-year players, more fundamentals being developed. It actually gets back to what it used to be in the 70s and most of the 80s, where guys were staying 4 years – and there was a growth process there. There was, you know, and it was fun to watch the development.
Yeah.
You know, maybe eventually it'll be better for not only the college game but for the NBA game, because guys will actually have harnessed their skills a little bit better.
Now, what would it be like? Because we saw Bosa do this at Ohio State, played a couple games, actually did get hurt, and just told Urban Meyer, I'm not coming back.
No.
Michigan game, bowl game, I'm not coming back. I'm getting ready for the draft. Can you imagine the conversation right now? Zion Williamson walking into Mike Krzyzewski's office after Krzyzewski just is all googly-eyed at every press conference after the game, talking about how awesome this kid is, said, Coach K, my agents and my family and I, we have, you know, supposed to have an agent yet.
Can't have an
agent. My people said we
can't once you quit school.
We're gonna shut it down, and I got to get ready for the NBA draft.
He would have an endorsement shoe deal in 2 seconds. He could live off that, until more than enough to live off that.
But Coach K's whole existence is on trying to beat North Carolina and get to the Final Four, and now Zion Williamson's going to look him in the face and say, yeah, you got 16 games out of me. I'm good. I mean, Kyrie Irving only played like 9 games for Duke. He was injured all the time.
What would you do? No, I remember, you know.
I can see the reason to not play.
I remember when Allen Iverson did it to John Thompson at Georgetown. That was, and I don't know if you guys remember, but that was like shocking back then. Shocking that somebody under John Thompson's tutelage was not going to stay for 4 years.
But he at least finished his second year, though, right?
And then he left. Was it 2 years?
Or was it one?
I thought it was one.
Okay, but he played the year.
Scottie
Pippen saying Zion Williamson should stop now in January.
I sort of understand it. I don't know. I was asking, what would you do if you had that tip, if you were him?
I would. Boy, that would be awfully ballsy to walk into Coach K's office and say I'm done. But it makes sense to me, especially if I came from a poor family and this was generational money that was going to be coming my way. I don't know, man. Might have to make a business decision.
I think it's tough.
Especially if I was bitter and I felt like I was forced to play college basketball for 1 year because of how the system is.
How much money?
As opposed to just being a free agent right out of high school and being drafted like anybody. I could have skipped college. I could have gone right into radio. I did both at the same time. But, I mean, if I have that right, why doesn't a player have that right? And I might be bitter toward the system, and I might say, blanket.
I did skip college and went right into radio. I went to broadcasting school for 6 months, which was great. And I wanted to get right into the business, which I did, and you know, worked my way up. Very fortunate, and I wouldn't change anything. But I understand, you know, the sentiment for me would be, man, I'd love to win a national championship. I'd love the atmosphere and all this stuff. On the other hand, when you're looking at the big picture, as you said, I'm like, what? Why am I doing this for a school that I'm making hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, for? I get nothing out of it. And don't give me this nonsense of education, because that means nothing.
And they're not going to hang your number in the banner, or not going to hang your number up because you didn't graduate.
Yeah.
Just ask Steph Curry at Davidson. They're not retiring his jersey.
He's going to finish his one course or whatever it is he has to finish. So, yeah, I do think it's an interesting dichotomy once again. It's you can make an argument for both ways. But please spare me the education part of it. Because that does not in play here. That is irrelevant.
He's signed up probably for 4 classes
now. I think if that this is the way you want to go, you do what Baisley did, who was a commit. He was a top 10 player coming out of high school last year. He was a commit to Syracuse and then just never signed with the school. And he's interning with New Balance right now for $1 million.
Yeah.
Wink, wink, nod, nod. You're going to wear New Balance when you're drafted next year.
Right.
And you work on your game. I mean, so...
Yeah,
I don't have a problem with somebody who says I don't want to put the future of my family at risk by going and playing college. But if that's your thought process, then don't go at all.
Right.
Don't play
16
November,
games.
Yeah. December, half of January, and then quit on your team.
I think the new NCAA is going to be the G League when they start paying these players.
Yeah,
G League. That league is going to be worth watching. That's going to be a fun league to watch. Because all these young studs who are going to diss all these great schools now in college are going to go play for the G League, and it's going to be a bunch of all-star kids out there playing, because they're going to get paid $100,000 for a year.
All right, speaking of the NBA, we're going to be talking with Rick Kamla from NBA TV in just a moment. A lot of amazing storylines going on in the NBA, so all that's coming up here with Sheeman and Shepard.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PSHEP326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
They're playing basketball.
I love this song.
Yeah.
We love that basketball.
Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader, 99.3 ESPN. You know, on Monday, MLK Day, big NBA day, right? It's like Christmas 2.0, or just games all day long.
Yeah, it's always been that way for a long time.
It's time to check in with a good friend, Rick Kamla from NBA TV. We got to get serious about the NBA hoops for sure. Rick, how you been, man? How are you?
Hey, Rick.
Oh, I'm great, guys. What's up? Happy New Year. Thanks for having me back on.
You bet, as always. All right, where to start? There's so many good stories going on in the NBA. Let me start you off with the Rockets and James Harden. Bodies are going down. More players are getting hurt. James Harden is just literally carrying the load with this incredible scoring binge he's on. Can he keep up? Can he keep it up? It probably won't work in the playoffs, but can he keep it up for the regular season?
Well, great point there with the playoff caveat. I totally agree with that. He's got a huge hurdle to overcome in that regard for me. But that's well off into the future, and let's live in the now with James Harden. This is a Wilt Chamberlain-esque, Kobe Bryant-esque, Michael Jordan-esque run by James Harden. It's one of the greatest historical runs we've ever seen. That's not a hot take. The stats say it. 18 consecutive 30-plus point games. The only guy ever who has a longer streak of 30-plus point games is Wilt Chamberlain.
Wow.
That's it. he's got back-to-back 50s. It's spellbinding. It's absolutely unbelievable. And can he keep it up at this pace? No. Even in Kobe's year, remember when he had 10 50-point games and he had the run of consecutive, I think, eight straight 40s, 81 averaged, 35.7 a game, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Even in that year for Kobe, you know, he would dip down to 27, 31. You know what I mean? He's not going to do, 30 plus the rest of the year. But, with Chris Paul out, with Eric Gordon being out for a couple of weeks, and he just recently came back, Clint Capella now out, the usage rate is off the charts. His talent is off the charts. I don't think he gets enough love in the best player in the world debate, and I'm not saying he is. It's something like Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and James Harden, and I think it's a really good debate right now.
Yeah.
Well, the problem I've had with the NBA this year is I have a hard time with 73s in a game. You're seeing more and more and more. I'm an NBA fan, Rick. I'm becoming more disenchanted with what I'm seeing. I don't know. Maybe I'll change my mind come playoff time. Just a bunch of threes being thrown up there. To me, like it's not basketball anymore. I think it's becoming ridiculous. I'm all for Harden. I respect everything you just said. I agree with you 100%. Absolutely. 73s. I don't know. Is that good basketball to you?
Well, it's certainly 2019 basketball, and every team doesn't play with the with the 3-point focus of Houston. But I get your point, man. Look, I'm 49 years old. I came up in the 80s, smash mouth basketball. And by the way, they were still scoring 120 back then. You guys know that.
Yeah.
For the young pups out there, and I love you. I shout you out. But there was hoops before LeBron James. Wink, wink. With smash mouth hoops, but these guys were still rocking a $120, $115, $111 because they were that good. But you just remember the center battles, right? The center battles are gone. Yao Ming and Shaq might have been the last great center matchup that we've had in the NBA. You think it was David Robinson and Hakeem Olajuwon and Patrick Ewing? You know, the Patrick Ewing, Rick Smith center matchups were dope. Great theater.
Yeah.
Alonzo Mourning and Patrick Ewing, all this kind of stuff, man. So, look, it's a different NBA. I still love it. It's evolving, and I'm evolving with it. But to your point, I prefer it to be more balanced. I wish there was more post play. I wish there was more back to the basket game, but that's just not what the league's about right now.
And of course, I pointed out the other day, taking the other side, had the Warriors scored their 51 in the first quarter. How about that? Denver 18-3 at home, and they score 39 points in the first quarter, and they get blown out. But I said, if the Showtime Lakers had done that in the 80s, we'd be going, "Wow, man, what a quarter!" Right?
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, I'm saying, wow, what a quarter even with the Warriors. But you're right. It is a little less surprising. It's like, okay, they made more history last night. but it really echoes how incredible and all-time great this team is. It's already a dynasty. I think it's already one of the great NBA dynasties. I think you can put it up there with you can compare it to Showtime right now and at least debate it and have a little back and forth on it. Showtime got five, man. So it's 5-3 right now. I can't give it to him. But, you know, the McHale and Parrish and Bird Celtics won three. And Golden State has three. That's very comparable to me. The San Antonio Spurs and the Tim Duncan and Pop era won four. Golden State has three. It looks like they're going to win a fourth. That's a debatable dynasty to me. So, and obviously it's not, you know, you say, oh, what about the Celtics in the 60s and 50s and all that? First of all, the shorts were way too short. Second of all, there weren't very many teams in the NBA back then. It was like 8 teams, 12 teams, 16 teams. And am I throwing shade? Not necessarily, but it was a different time. I think it's a lot tougher to win a championship when there's 28 teams, 24 teams. And in any way, but I think that Golden State dynasty is right up there with the best the league has ever seen.
Eric, we all know what Kyrie Irving, after that Saturday pathetic loss to Orlando, which he didn't play. You know, Gordon Hayward comments about him and Brad Stevens. We know the back stories here. Him coming out last night, which is one of the best games of the year, by the way, the Celtics and Raptors right down to the wire. And they had to call LeBron James because putting kind of himself in that category is ridiculous. But what was not ridiculous is the way he played, which is if he did more of that, I think it would solve a lot of problems. I don't know how you feel about it.
Well, I like the way you said what you said in terms of to put himself, you know, in sort of a LeBron position like that. Come on, bro. I know you were amazing in game. Now, amazing is not even the right word. Like, spectacular in games 5, 6, and 7 against Golden State when you did what nobody had done, coming back from 3-1. He hit the huge shot in game 7. I get all that, and I give you all the credit for that. But that's one. LeBron's got three. And I do get shady with LeBron. We had a conversation about that. I don't like him always saying, I'm a leader, I'm this, I'm that. It's on other people, I think, to either tell you that or just acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. You know, LeBron coming out talking about, you know, me winning that championship for Cleveland makes me the GOAT is literally one of the stupidest things I've ever heard in my life. Disrespectful.
Yeah.
And, you know, for Kyrie Irving to first of all, call out his team as, I've won a championship, I know how to do this, you don't, and I'm paraphrasing, it's dumb. And he came out and said, I won't call out my teammates publicly like that again. It's because Danny Ainge is a gangster, and he got with Kyrie and was like, bro, love you. We don't roll that way, okay?
Mm, yeah.
Stop doing it. And Kyrie got the message and said that. And so for him then to call out his teammates, I knew he was going to back it up with a monster game last night. Mm-hmm. He did. Maybe the best game he's ever played with the assists and the whole package that he had. But you're right. To say, oh, you know, I'm like LeBron right now. I'm this leader, and I've got all these puppies that are so hard to lead. Give me a break with that. Mm-hmm. LeBron is at OG status. Kyrie Irving is at all-star status. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Rick Kemble from NBA TV with Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN. All right, Brian Windhorst said something that concerned me if one would be a LeBron fan. He's been out, what, 11 games with a serious groin injury. This is the first time we've seen LeBron out for a long time with an injury in his career. He said, you know what? After missing all these games, he's still not any better. And every time every couple of days, we hear a couple of reports, hey, it's going to be a couple more games or three more games or two more games. If it's not any better since Christmas, is this way more serious? It might he like need surgery to reattach stuff? I mean, it has happened before. Is that where we're at, or do you fully expect to see LeBron back in the lineup maybe by MLK Day?
Well, you're scaring the hell out of me here. I've got LeBron James on myriad fantasy basketball. I can't have him going under the knife, all right? Look, I get shady, and I'm a critic, but I need those stats, baby. So, look, they're going to clear him to practice next week, which I think is a really good sign. And for some, this injury has lingered longer than they thought. Not me. When I saw him on Christmas in the catcher's position, mm-hmm. trying to flex the groin,
yeah.
and he had like that automatic pain wince face,
yeah.
I was like, oh no. I mean, it was like somebody took a knife and just stabbed him, you know, right there in that muscle, and it was like that bad. I'm like, no. This guy's missing at least 2 weeks. I think we're at 3 weeks now, and so it's going to be about a month injury. When all is said and done, maybe a little longer. What this has done, first of all, it has put the Lakers in the race for eight the rest of the season,
yeah.
whereas they were in the race, you know, for that 4-5 spot before. It also has taken LeBron James completely out of the MVP discussion for me. Mm-hmm. You just can't miss this many games. I get the importance to your team, but you can't miss this many games and win MVP. It may be unfortunate, but it is what it is. I wouldn't vote for him. Look, man, there's one more thing here. This is the first extended injury for LeBron James of his career.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's the beginning of the end or anything crazy like that, but this may be an indication that the hits are going to start to come mm-hmm. for the previously invincible LeBron James.
Yeah, good point. Not to mention the gauntlet of a schedule they've got coming up when he comes back.
Absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
Hey, Rick, I wanted to ask you about Scottie Pippen's comments recently about Zion Williamson, the Duke star. And I think Scottie's onto something here, not just with college basketball. I think if you're a top star in football, basketball, baseball, or hockey in the NCAA, I think the trend over the next 3 to 5, 10 years is going to be, I don't know how much we're going to keep giving our name up to these schools and not getting it. I'll hang out. I'll play in the G League and there's a Super G League in the NBA, whatever. I'll go there, play there for $100,000, whether it's baseball. There's going to be something like that for these kids. What were your thoughts on his comment? Should Zion, if you were him, if you were in his shoes, would you sort of go to Coach K and say, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm risking my future.
Well, what you got to do is go to the right program with boosters that hook up your family with houses, cars,
Absolutely. That's a given. That's right? A given. We know that.
So handle your business. Like, if you want to go to Duke, they don't swing that way. You want to go someplace a little bit west of Duke, they swing that way. And I'm not going to name anybody. I don't want to get in trouble, but, do the geography in your own brain. I think y'all know where I'm going there.
All right.
What's that?
No, I'm following you.
Yeah. Okay. So look, here's the thing, man. There have been a couple of examples of a guy, you know, Moutier went overseas and made about $1 million and came back. Okay. And there's little examples here and there. I think college basketball is really cool. And I wish guys stayed longer. I get that they leave, obviously. I actually think they should go back to no age limit at all with the way how more developed athletically and mentally and intellectually all these young guys are. I mean, I interview all these cats on draft night, and literally every one of them blows my head off with how amazing they are and how well-versed they are. So hopefully that's where we're going, back to no more one and done, and guys can just go straight to the NBA. But, there's prestige, there's fraternity, there's tradition with – and family, by the way, when you go play for Kentucky or you go play for Duke or you go play for UCLA, right? Like, it's a big deal. Some people may not think it's a big deal anymore. Maybe I'm old school. I still think it's a big deal.
Rick, final question. Is the Enes Kanter story the most bizarre story you've ever covered in the NBA with his fear for assassination to the Turkish government and whatnot and not accompanying the team to London?
Yeah, Craig, I can't think of a nuttier story in terms of a player actually fearing for his life and legitimately fearing for his life. Apparently, the Turkish government has a warrant out for his arrest because they are accusing him of being a part of a terror group.
Yeah.
Okay, so if they actually get their hands on him, what are they going to do to him?
Exactly.
I fear for the safety of Enes Kanter. I think he's making a beautiful decision not going to Europe. I don't think he's ever going to be able to go back to Europe. I think that ship has sailed. So Enes, just settle on here in America. I don't know if New York's going to be his long-term home. He's going to be a free agent this summer, but I'm a fan of his game. He's kooky and goofy and kind of entertaining. So I got his back, man. Enes, stay over here where you're safe.
Sounds good.
And we've all seen the movie Midnight Express, right? And Randy Quaid. And this is, I mean, I'm not accusing Kanter of smuggling hashish, but we know what Turkish prisons are like. Man, no way.
Yeah, stay away. All right. Hey, Rick, great job as always. Thanks for coming on today. I appreciate it, man.
Guys, my pleasure, man. Anytime. Enjoy the basketball.
Thanks, you. That is Rick Kambla from NBA TV. All right, a lot of interesting stuff.
Craig and Pete have you covered on the main sports. Chris will get you covered on everything else. It's the Obscure Sports Minute.
The Florida Everblades got a win last night in Rapid City. They've beat the Rush 4-0. They continue a 3-game set with the Rush Friday night, a game you can hear on our sister station, 770. Then Saturday night at 8:45, We'll have the game.
All right.
How about that?
Yeah.
And yesterday, the MLS named Austin as the host city for their 27th franchise. They will begin play in 2021. Right now, we got the Desert Classic going on. It's La Quinta, California. Did I say that right?
La Quinta.
Oh, like the hotel.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. It's my least favorite PGA Tour event.
Why?
Because they played on three different golf courses.
Oh.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Do not like it.
It's missed.
But you know who I like?
Who?
Phil Mickelson.
Oh, yeah?
And he's leading this golf tournament right now. He is 6 under through 9 holes of play. Martin Laird, one shot off him through 11. They're playing different courses, but that's what stinks about this tournament. You never know because they're different courses. They play different on day to day. I don't like this.
It's not fair.
But I do like Phil.
Phil, you never know with Phil. Yeah, right? Like last year.
He's wacky.
First half of the season, pretty good. Then
he's
faded
wacky
away.
Phil.
Yeah. But he's always got the potential to pop up there and just make headlines.
Here's something to ponder, because we probably won't get into this all, but we got some time here, right, for a second?
Yeah. We got plenty of time, Pete.
What the in the Star Tribune, I think in Minneapolis, headline, April's Final Four will cost the United States, U.S. Bank Stadium, millions more than the Super Bowl. Think about that.
Cost.
The upcoming NCAA Men's Basketball Final Four at U.S. Bank Stadium will cost the public millions more than the Super Bowl did last year.
Why?
After reimbursements, the cost of the Final Four to the Minnesota Sports Facilities Authority, or MSFA, the public body that oversees the stadium budget on behalf of taxpayers, estimated at $10 million, including operations and blackout curtains required for the tournament by the NCAA. In contrast, the Minnesota Sports Facilities Authority paid $627,000 out of pocket for the Super Bowl last winter. So while there was a cost estimate for the Final Four in the bid the MSFA submitted in 2014, current MSFA Chairman Michael Vekich would only say of the expected NCAA bill, it's a lot larger. I'll leave it at that. Explained that the NFL wrote checks to cover public costs and that the NCAA does not. The operating costs, I did not know this, of the Final Four is currently estimated at $6.9 million, a figure that does not include the tab for the NCAA-required blackout curtains. The curtains and that in their installation need to keep stadium lighting consistent for all games and practices will cost the MSFA $5.2 million.
They'll just birdied.
They'll be
like a 40-foot bomb.
The MSFA will be reimbursed by the Minnesota Final Four host committee $1.8 million for the curtains and another $200,000 for operations.
You know, a perfect person to ask this is Rick Harrell because he will always tell you that anytime these major events come to a town, it's millions and billions of dollars for the local economy. Maybe there's a hitch when it comes to the Final Four. He'd be a perfect person to ask that. He'll
Absolutely.
Be on the program at 5 o'clock.
Yes. And Jeremy Schaap just tweeted out a picture of Enos Kanter sitting in his apartment in his jersey watching the Knicks.
He put the jersey on?
He has the jersey on.
Is he eating 7 cheeseburgers like he did the other day?
No, he's not. He's just sitting on his couch.
Does it look like a nice apartment? Can you see the background?
It does look like a nice apartment, yeah.
Pretty fancy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for those that don't know, he's not over there with the team in London. There's a game right now in London in the NBA. It is the Knicks and who was it?
Wizards.
Washington.
The Wizards. And the Knicks were killing them.
Knicks were underdogs by 8. They're killing them. Lots
but
of bricks, though.
Enos can't go over there because he is an enemy of the Turkish government, and he fears that if he goes over to Europe, he will be assassinated. We're not making this up. And the Turkish government has accused him of funding terrorism and whatnot. And then what is – we mentioned this the other day. What former NBA player is now a part of the Turkish government?
Hidu Turkoglu.
Hidu Turkoglu. He says this is all nonsense and he should come on over. And I think Enos thinks Ido wants to have him killed. Literally.
I want no part of anything that's happened in Turkey with their government. I'm sorry. Maybe it's the movie Midnight Express. It's not, that is not a place you want to go to jail. I'm telling you.
Turkish I went to Turkey once.
You did?
Yep.
What part?
The Turkish part.
Okay.
I don't know. Port city?
What'd you see there?
Oh. I did a bus tour. It was, I don't know. Sorry if you're Turkish. I don't want you to take offense to this.
I'm
talking to the audience.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't
Although
for me.
You may find out when you get your DNA back.
I did a, we did a bus tour and,
Is it rough? Is it pretty?
The only thing that sticks out is I asked the nice tour guide what they eat for Thanksgiving.
Oh, God.
You don't have Thanksgiving
over
there.
You don't have Thanksgiving turkey. Well, what did you want to say, turkey?
I was young. I thought it was clever.
Did he make fun of you?
It was not clever. No, she seemed offended.
Really?
I could see that.
Yep.
I
was young. I was in the 12, 13, 14. Yep.
Hey, what do y'all have for Thanksgiving around here?
Yep.
A holiday that does not exist in Turkey.
Because the pilgrims didn't go to Turkey. They
came to America.
Came here, landed on Plymouth.
And then we discovered football.
Yeah, I mean, they played football in the original Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
Fact. Look it up.
Football, turkeys, Snoopy. Yeah, we had it all. It's perfect. All right. Coming up, we've got a Sheeman and Shepherd cash grab. Your chance to win $1,000. So stay tuned. It's not open yet, but you want to listen past 4 o'clock. I'm going to give you a heads up on the word. It is friend. 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 Download our app for free. Type in the word friend, and then you'll be registered for a nationwide contest to win $1,000. Is that simple? We've had multiple winners from Fort Myers already. So do
Fethi?
It!
Fethi?
What?
Was that the city I went to?
Fethi.
I think.
Yeah. Spell it.
F-E-T-H-I-Y-E.
Doesn't sound right. We'll update our poll on female hairy armpits. Yes, and we'll explain why.
Oh, boy.
And the Mel Kiper mock draft. We mocked Mel Kiper earlier for saying Kyler Murray is the most intriguing draft pick in the history of the NFL draft. But now we're going to give him his due and run through his mock draft. And we'll tell you where all your favorite teams are supposedly going to be picking. All of that coming up. Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.